When the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
Go! It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois. We are live on a Sunday night. It's almost here, Jared. USA Mexico 2021. Again, this time for qualifying points. It's not a cup. There's no trophy to be handed out at the end of this thing, but obviously we're fired up for this. First of all, how are you?
I've been better. I think you know that right now. I've been better.
Yeah, it's a rough night for Galaxy fans. I just came off. I literally went from doing radio on Sirius XMFC. Jared, did you know I have a radio show?
Oh, on Sunday nights? I thought you had a podcast on Sunday nights.
WNBC.
I have that too.
WNBC.
We see which one got put on hold.
Don't do that to me. You want me to pull back the curtain real fast? Do you want me to?
Oh, we'll
pull
back the curtain because we're going to have to pub a Friday night show. I would be interested to see how you're going to do that.
Yeah, well, look, I think a lot of people know that's my, as much as I love you and as much as I love Nikki Soup and Sushi and everything that goes on in the show, I pay the bills largely with the radio, and therefore I was doing radio tonight. And I'm going to be doing radio on Friday. So we're going to work that all out.
Get that paper, kid.
We're going to work it all out. There's going to still be cool stuff coming from the best soccer show. And I'm disappointed to be missing USA Mexico and everything else. But you got to do what you got to do. And maybe that's where we are with the national team. Okay. And we're going to push aside the Galaxy missing the playoffs and all of that. I just talked about decision day for an hour and a half. I'm kind of decision day out for the moment. This is, we're talking roster. Our first opportunity to talk about the U.S. men's national team roster, Jared, and I was just going back over it, and I saw it on Thursday. I had a little mini vacation, went out to not a cabin like a rustic cabin, but a cabin like with everything that you would want in a house, but in the woods. Enjoyed that, had a little bit of a getaway time, saw the roster and went, oh, okay, how confident do I feel right now? And I'll ask you.
It was a pretty good roster, to be honest with you. I don't have too many issues with it. I mean, I thought Berhalter did fairly decent with this roster. There's a couple things that maybe you can nitpick with here, but the biggest one sitting out there.
It's only nitpicking? Because I don't... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I cede the floor to you. I've been talking for an hour and a half.
I think there's only one person that maybe should be there that isn't, and that's John Brooks.
Yes,
isn't that the only one?
Isn't that a big one though? Isn't that the one that kind of like awooga? I don't even have I don't have a klaxon. I should have a. I have a board. I have all these sounds. I can't. Okay, what is this? What?
Go to DEFCON 2.
I mean, why? I know I saw John's response, and I understand why I was left out, and blah blah blah. You know, I think it's right that the fan base is kind of scratching their heads, going, well, why is John Brooks being held to that standard? But there seem to be some other players in this mix who aren't being held to the same standard. So you explain it to me, Jared, because I had him in my starting lineup against Mexico.
Oh, I did too. I think what this is Berhalter maybe getting a little too creative. I think he's doing... Berhalter seems to be the type of guy that likes to send a message. He's sending a message, Jared, but let's be honest. Has John Brooks looked good before the last two weeks?
No.
Has he looked good in the last month?
Okay, for the national team, right? That's what we're talking. So are we going to do
that? Even for Wolfsburg, he was poor until the coaching change.
Okay, well then maybe it was the coaching change, right? And he looked good. He looked good this past weekend, right? So I don't know. What are we talking about here? Like what? He looked good in the win over Salzburg in the Champions League, right? So what are we talking about here? You're not gonna have a guy that's probably among center backs in the Bundesliga top 20. I mean, I know it could be top 10. I mean, on his best day, he's a top 10 defender in the Bundesliga, and you're not calling him up.
Yeah.
You're not calling him up. You're going to do that. You're sending a message? Who are you sending a message to, Jared?
For all we know, maybe John Brooks even said like he's not ready for it. I mean, when he left the field,
that's
two windows ago. Did it look like he was happy to be in the U.S. national team?
The only thing that I can think of here, This is my hope, my dream, my way of rationalizing this, right? Because again, this is the toughest game outside of going to the Azteca that you have on your qualification schedule. And you're not going to take an incredibly experienced and you know, a guy that's been through this, right? Who has done this before. It's not like it would be his first time out. And whatever you think his limitations are and whatever mistakes he made against Canada or against Honduras or whatever, come on, man. Like, seriously.
Well, honestly, for me, I think that this is Berhalter tipping the hat that he might go three men in the back. He might go three in the back. And so we have seen that John Brooks has struggled when, if it was Mexico away.
Okay, so that's your explanation. That's your explanation.
It's up to Greg Berhalter to explain it. I'm just telling you a possible reason.
No, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense. But if we're looking for something to make sense, I guess it kind of makes sense. The other thing that I'm thinking
Look at the defenders he did bring. The McKenzie, the Richards, Riles Robinson, Zimmerman for a four-man back line right now. If you want four-man line, probably Zimmerman. But also, you don't see Tim Ream there.
No, you don't see
Tim Ream and John Brooks both dropped from this team, which tells you he wants to go younger, he wants to go more athletic, he wants to go faster. And to me, he brought center backs that can play in a three-man set and Zimmerman.
Okay, so tell me who you – and again, I haven't even got to my scenario yet. But tell me who you trust against Raul Jimenez out of this group. Who do you trust against Raul Jimenez in this group?
That's a tough one. I would say Miles Robinson, but I don't know that that's the best. Honestly, Mike Walker Zimmerman, I think, is a better matchup for Jimenez. But if he goes to a three-man back line, you're not going to see Walker Zimmerman in, I don't think.
But you're concocting. I mean, I know he's done this occasionally. He did it against Mexico in, the Nations League final, the three-man back line. You're concocting a reason to drop your best center back. He's your best center back.
Classically, our best center back. Yes.
Okay, but how in your head
do you think Miles Robinson is better than him right now?
No, I think Miles Robinson is on a good run of form with the national team. I think he's a good young defender. And he's athletic, and he's played very well. That doesn't mean he's a better player than John Brooks. It doesn't. My scenario was this: maybe Brooks, the conspiratorial element of the national team fan base has done this thing where, oh, Brooks, you know, looks like he is annoyed by Berhalter or doesn't respect Berhalter, you know, rolled his eyes at him, that kind of thing, right? So maybe that combined with the form issues he's had with the national team the last time out that he played, maybe. And look, Brooks isn't going to rip Greg Berhalter publicly. I think he still wants to go to a World Cup if the United States qualifies. So my guess is that this is a little bit maybe tactics. It also might be that Book said, look, I'm not feeling it right now. And Berhalter saying, look, okay, fine. We're not going to call you. You can still have a play. I mean, it's not like he's kicking him off the team, right? He's just maybe taking a pass on this one. Maybe Brooks begged off a little bit, which, you know, people hate when that happens. But sometimes players just, they're not at that level at that moment.
And for all we know, Brooks may have said, hey, I'm struggling at the club level, coach. I need to just focus on this right now. That could be a conversation happening behind the scenes.
Maybe.
I mean, that could definitely happen. And I'll shout this out. I'll just put it on the screen. I'll put it up again from Tamale Killer, which also seems vaguely racist. But you say Brooks doesn't look good lately. Well, McKenzie hasn't even played and Cannon hasn't either and just got hurt. What the hell are you thinking? So this is fair. This is absolutely fair.
Again, first of all, if I understand why people want to apply logic and the same standard across all the selections, and I agree, it's frustrating as hell, but I think we're just at a point where Berhalter has a sliding scale. He's got a sliding scale. I don't know what it is. Nobody can figure it out. The issue I have is it's frustrating, but they're in second place. I know, look, they lost to Panama. That sucked. It was bad. They drew against Canada. That sucked. I didn't like that either. But they're in second place right now. Until they go on a run where they're just not getting points or they slip down the table and they're suddenly in fourth, it's kind of hard to work up enough anger to say, well, that sliding scale is a problem. It's not a problem until it is. But, Jared, it feels like it might be, right? Isn't that where we're at?
No, I think all that's fair. In the end, I don't know what Berhalter's scale is either. It seems like form has a good bit to do with it. And also, I think there's just something about him that gets a feel for guys. Like, I think when they're in camp, he gets this magic feeling that only he understands, and he goes with or sits based off of that feeling. And listen, that's what he's getting paid to do. At the end of the day, it's his decision to make. all we can do is judge him by the results. Right now, he has a team that is in decent place, decent position in the octagonal, with a one very high profile game coming up.
Yeah.
We'll judge him based off of that and see if he was right or wrong. It's a bold move leaving John Brooks off this roster. It's a bold move for sure when you're playing one of your biggest bits of competition. But also, in Miles Robinson, Chris Richards, and Walker Zimmerman, he has three guys that are bringing it right now and done well at the national team level recently, more recently than John Brooks.
Yes, but then there's Mark McKenzie, who I like, but isn't in that same rich vein.
Again, though, three-man back line. I'll be surprised if he doesn't play a three-man back line in one of these two games with what he brought in.
All right, let's let somebody else jump in here. Felix in Chicago wants to get on the air. What's up, Felix? You're on the Best Soccer Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hope everything's all right. So some of my thoughts. First one, not on the defense. I don't think I have anything original that you guys aren't both talking about, and I think you guys are both kind of hitting both sides of that argument, which is interesting. The only thing I would wonder is, it just kind of been alluded to, I know what Berhalter said was Brooks's form, which I think we would all agree up until 2 weeks ago wasn't great. I wonder if he is trying to send a message to the team in general, like, look, I'll bench Brooks, or I won't even call him in. So, you know, I'm just putting the rest of you on notice. But it's kind of reading it between the lines. We really don't. I mean, so it's kind of it's pure speculation. So I don't really want to like jump into that. My thoughts are two different thoughts. First one, Pulisic. I don't think he starts. What do you think? What do you think we'll see with Pulisic? Do you think a week of training? Because it's gonna. I mean, he's probably landing around now, right? Flying in from London. So after a week of training, do you think he'll take the chance and start him, or do you think he'll play it safe in 20, 30 minutes off the bench? That's my first thought or question.
Man, there's two ways to look at that right now. One, is he sitting the bench for Chelsea because he's not fit enough to go 90, or he's just not in their plans right now? That's the first bit of that.
Well, today, Tuchel said that Pulisic is still feeling some pain, and he hopes the U.S. men's national team is judicious with his minutes, basically kind of sending a message, hey, don't hurt my boy, because we do want him back healthy when he returns from national team duty. So I think it can be both those things. I don't know how you don't start him if you call him in when you don't have Giovanni Reyna. You have Tim Weah. He's a good option. You have Brendan Aaronson. He's in good form. He's guy's going to run his butt off. I love that kid. I want him to be in the starting lineup. But it's Christian Pulisic. He draws so much attention. He makes it a lot easier for players to play off of him, right? And he wins free kicks, and he does all those little things. I know he hasn't been great. I mean, the last time he scored in the run of play was, I don't know what, 2012 or whatever. He was 8 years old. I know he hasn't played great, but I just think that his presence on the field matters. So I don't know how you don't start
it. It does, but what else matters is not having him out for another 2-3 months with another injury.
I get that.
Berhalter's in a tough position.
And it's one game. Look, it's one game out of the 14 you're going to play in the Hex, but it's Mexico, and there's psychology here, and it is a home game. So unless you're like, we're going to go to Jamaica and totally take down the Reggae Boys, and we can be pretty confident of that, I don't know what you have to throw what you have at Mexico, right?
Are you assuming then that it's start Pulisic in the Mexico game, maybe get 45, maybe get 60 out of him, and he's in a bubble, you don't even take him maybe even to Jamaica, or
something,
you just
like
sit
that.
Him on the bench in Jamaica. So it's all your eggs are in one basket.
That kind of sounds right to me. But Mexico is going to kick him just like Jamaica is going to kick him. It really doesn't matter, right? He's going to get abused. That's what happens when he's.
And I think that's what you're seeing Stanley Tucci see. I mean, I think he understands the way things go in CONCACAF, and when you're Christian Pulisic in CONCACAF, you're going to be on your butt a lot. Now, what's going to be exciting to see, and why I hope he does start, is that what we've yet to see is how Ricardo Pepi's ability to finish can be juxtaposed with Christian Pulisic's gravity of pulling three guys to him.
We have not seen that yet.
We have not got to see that in any good stretch. I want to see what that looks like. And also, now instead of having the Dest overlap, having a potential Anthony Robinson overlap, because remember, last few times it's been Dest over there.
Yeah, things have to shift because Dest is not in this team. Now, Dest not being in this team you know, we presume injury related, right? New head coach. Yeah. Has Xavi landed in Barcelona? I don't even know where we are with that. I know he's saying goodbye to some Al Sadd guys. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if that's the reason. I don't think that you don't call a player because his coaching situation has changed. Just like John Brooks. And Florian Kohfeldt comes in. That's not a reason to leave Brooks there if you need to win games in World Cup qualifying. Again, we've talked about the possible reasons for Brooks not being there, I suppose. Mm-hmm. One of the other things here, and I'm sorry, Felix is still on the line. I want to get back to him. But the other thing that we need to talk about is you mentioned Ricardo Pepi. We got to presume he's going to start both games because there ain't another center forward on the roster.
It's the only nine that they brought, man. I mean, this guy, if he gets a knock, good Lord, we're talking about Jesus Ferreira playing the nine.
I think Berhalter has talked himself into it. I think
But Weah can do it too. Let's not forget, Weah has played striker a good portion of his career.
Sure, you know? But like, when he can has do he it done he it? To. It's the same thing with, it's like the inverse of Matthew Hoppe. Matthew Hoppe is a center forward, has been forced to play winger for the U.S., but we still know he can be a center forward. Weah hasn't played there. Basically, I mean, okay, he hasn't played as a lone center forward for Lille or for the United States in a very long time. All right, Felix, you got anything else, man? I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. No, I mean, that's why I listen, right? Because I enjoy listening to you guys talk, not by myself. So my other thought was this. It's taking a little bit of a different direction, and one of the reasons that I like talking to you guys is because you guys have been following the national team for a long time really closely. So as you guys are fully aware of, is the for the lack of a better term, the hate and the angst around players like Areola and Roldan and Legette getting called in, right? So it's kind of like a fun
Felix,
little thing.
Felix, you can say MLS quota. It's okay. Say the words MLS quota. Go ahead.
No. That whole conspiracy is ridiculous to me. No, my question is a little different. As long as I've been following the national team, which for me really closely has been since around 2004, 2005, right? I watched them in 94, then I kind of fell off and got back into it around 05. And there's always been a couple of players, whether it was Arena, whether it was Bradley, whether it was Klinsmann, that everyone freaks out about, why is that guy getting called in? Whether it was Brad Evans or Beckerman. Or
Bornstein.
Bornstein's the guy you're thinking
or
of.
Or Kleston. Bornstein's the greatest one ever. So I was just a kind of a fun little top five. And not that you have to do this necessarily, but top five. Why is this guy getting called in?
That guy.
Top five, like the white whale, you know, like the De La Torre right now. De La Torre is the one, like, everyone thinks he's like the next Xavi, the way they talk about him. So top five, like, why isn't this guy getting called in? And top five, why the hell is that guy getting called in? I thought that'd be kind
of
fun.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to let you go, Felix. Other people waiting. But, Jared, can you quickly off the top of your head do a top five that guy? That guy. Why does that coach keep calling that guy?
All time or here to this right now?
He was saying all time. He was saying go all the way back.
Yeah, he nailed a bunch of them. You can go back to Bornstein. You can go back to...
I think Rico Clark got some of that for a while.
Yeah, Rico Clark. A lot of that was the blowback from the Ghana issue, though, when he gave up the ball in the World Cup. So
yeah,
there's that. He mentioned Beckerman. I'm trying to think back to going back to Arena back in the day. Like, who was the guy Arena brought?
Who was that? Like, I don't even
maybe
even know.
Eddie Lewis was worth it. So not Eddie Lewis.
No, it's not Eddie Lewis. Eddie Lewis was in Europe at the time. Never would have gotten that hate.
Bruce Arena's team's kind of produced for the most part, but it's got to be that 06 team. There has to be a guy in the 06 team that is the... Well, I guess, was that Rico Clark? Was that it?
Or
was
Rico
that's
was...
when Reyna gave up the ball in that one.
Rico Clark was a Bob Bradley guy, not a Bruce Arena guy.
I'm trying to think from that 06, like, who was on that team? I can't even remember now, like, some of the deep bench guys on there.
Hold on, I'm going to pull up... I got some callers. I'm going to get to you, I promise. But let me pull up the U.S. roster from the 2006 World Cup.
Oh, Klinsmann, you have Julian Green, and you have Jordan Morris. People forget, Jordan Morris was that guy for Klinsmann.
Well, he
remember
called
the
him,
Stanford guy that was taking spots from professionals.
Yeah, he called him. He called him. I don't think that Julian Green counts because he was. I understand, like, he brought him into the team young and wanted to get him in and all that. I don't know if
some people felt that way about Michael Ruscofiscal.
Yeah, I guess that's true, and that's going to set up our next caller in a second. But let me just play
Michael
this.
Michael freaking Ruscofiscal.
06. Albright was on that team. Mastroeni. Let's see, Lewis. Eddie Johnson, no. I mean, he was young, but he was supposed to be the ish.
Oh, you know who's, you know, oh, I know 06. Brian Ching is 06 because he didn't take Twellman.
Didn't take Twellman.
And that was Brian a big Ching. Deal that he didn't take Twellman. He took Brian Ching and Connor Casey, if I remember as well. I think he took both.
He didn't take Connor Casey to the World Cup. Connor Casey has not gone to a World Cup. He's played in qualifiers, but he's never gone to a World Cup.
Maybe he took Ching because Casey was hurt then.
Yeah, I don't think there's another name on the Bruce Arena 06 team that really merits that. Anyway, let's go to the aforementioned Michael Marosco Friscal drop guy, Mike in Philly. Mike, what's up?
Yo, what do you guys think of this MLS quota?
I think it's way too low.
Man, you're gonna get us flamed. U.S. men's national team Twitter is gonna kill us, Jared. Thank you.
I would believe a quota if someone told me about it if it was 1998.
Yeah,
like it's 2021. No one cares.
Greg Berhalter likes who he likes. This is the truth about every coach. And we don't. Again, yep. We might not see it. That's why we're talking about that guy. You can be upset about particular choices that Berhalter has made, but I think the quota thing is dumb because you want Miles Robinson on this team. It's not that, you know, he's there to make up a number, right? You want him on this team.
Let's be honest too. The reason why you're seeing Legit, Roldan, you're seeing a couple of these guys that are very polarizing for people. I know it's a different part of the field, but you're not counting them for a lot of minutes. But you didn't bring Tim Ream and you didn't bring John Brooks, the guys who have a lot of veteran experience and can kind of be the locker room guys for these kids and be leaders for them. The U.S. may very well line up 3 18-year-olds against Mexico if Scally plays.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what we're talking about here. So I know that people want to bring Luca De La Torres and I get it. I like it too. I want to see him. But he does have to manage the experience of the team as well and have some guys there that can be locker room guys and practice guys. And I know people hate hearing that. I get it. It is unsexy. But well, you kind of still need that.
No.
You got a guy that's dipping out on his team and bringing a girl into the hotel room. You need some guys that can be speak some sense around here.
Yeah, okay. Look,
damn, dog.
I know.
In a probe.
I'm with you on that to a point, but, and this is the issue, right? This from MSB3678. This is the issue that gets people fired up, and I'm going to give Mike his time in a second. It's not that he calls up MLS guys to fill out the roster or to be depth at a certain spot. It's that he has been playing those guys. Not every time out, right? But he rotated the whole thing against Panama. And what did he do? Throw a bunch of MLS players onto the park, and they stunk the joint up. Now, I think that's small sample size, and there's a lot of reasons not to just hold that one game against every one of those players. But, man, they stunk the joint up. So is that the problem? Is it giving MLS guys too much time? Is it giving Sebastian Legette a start, Christian Roldan this minute, Kellen Acosta this opportunity to play? I like Acosta in certain circumstances. I don't want him starting against Mexico. That's for sure.
You know, shout out to Morgan in the private chat who's doing some work for us. Threw out there that Berhalter was on that 06 roster and maybe was that guy.
Is this sort of like Inception or is that more of a Looper situation? I don't remember what.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that. Okay. I haven't seen Inception. I've seen Looper though.
Wait, I'm sorry. You haven't what? You haven't seen Inception?
Yeah, I haven't seen all the Nolans. I also haven't seen Dunkirk, but I've seen all the Batmans.
I haven't seen Dunkirk, but I've seen Inception. That was like, okay, anyway, Mike, go ahead.
So moving from one conspiracy theory to my own personal one, but
let's do it.
And this sort of goes to speaking about what Jared was saying with, I'm a little concerned that we don't have Brooks being like that lone Eller statesman there, but do you guys think it's possible there was some sort of rift between Berhalter and Brooks? And maybe I'm reading way too much between the lines, but like just watching, It looked like he had a lack of commitment, a lack of buy-in into what Greg wanted to do those last few games. And I really get the feeling that maybe instead of the guise of this being performance-based, it really is just some sort of personal conflict between the two. And I'm a little concerned, not having that veteran presence.
Yeah, look, I mean,
for John Brooks, it's got to be hard, too. You got a coach who played center back for the U.S. national team who has never been at your level. Greg Berhalter has never been at the level that John Brooks is.
Do you really think that? Hold on, but do you think that's a factor in how he assesses John Brooks?
You don't think
Brooks?
It's maybe a little hard for John Brooks if he fundamentally feels differently about something about the position?
You're saying that, okay.
Like, who's this guy to tell me?
Maybe, but if players, you know, had egos, players have large egos, don't get me wrong, but if players brought their egos to the table with a coach who didn't reach their same level, then they'd be dysfunctional in every team on the planet. Like, that's just a thing. You're going to have to play for guys who didn't do much in their careers. Unless it's Zidane as your manager, you're just going to have to suck it up and deal with somebody you think you know more than. That's what a coach is there for. I mean, his job is to direct the team. I don't know. Like, it's possible that Brooks and Berhalter have sort of some sort of personal thing.
Okay. Rank the conspiracy theory. MLS quota or John Brooks having a personal issue with Berhalter? Which is more likely?
Well, the Berhalter-Brooks thing is more likely, okay. But that's not a conspiracy. That's just two guys butting heads. And again, big egos come to the table. And I think it sucks, and you got to figure it out. If you have somebody talented, I mean, look, but maybe this is another part of our maturation of as a national team, Jared, because, and look, it's not the first time, actually. You could go back and talk about Clint Mathis and some of the stuff that happened with him. But, you know, national teams have these issues sometimes. Karim Benzema didn't play for France for how long? I mean, This happens, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it's never happened to the U.S., though, because we've never had enough talent to not let talent on the field.
Clint Mathis and his ego nearly got him dropped from the team a couple of times. In fact, I think it ultimately did get him dropped a little bit earlier than he was, you know, ready to exit the stage. But he wasn't on that 2006 World Cup team, was he? He wasn't.
2006,
so anyway.
He wasn't?
No. Oh, wow. I don't think Clint Mathis was on that World Cup team in 2006. All right, Mike is gone. So this is what I'm going to do real quick before we get to our next caller. Jared, who's the most experienced player on this roster? Since we're just talking about experience.
Are we talking just caps or age?
Well, I'm going to go by caps because that's a better metric than age.
Okay. Honestly, national team caps, not just we were talking national team caps.
National team caps. Who's the most experienced
player? I'd say Sean Johnson
player.
Would have some of the most actual like appearances of club and country. But I would say on this roster, it's Christian Pulisic.
It is not Christian Pulisic. You are very much wrong about that.
Really?
Yes. If you thought about it, if I tell you, you'll be like, oh, duh,
is it Steffen?
Of course. It's not. No, it's not Zach Steffen. He's not even close. No.
Well, keepers get a lot of caps, you know. But
no, but not that many caps. Come on.
Man.
You can do this. It's all over the chat. Don't look at the chat. The chat is cheating for you. Don't look at the chat. Don't look at the chat. Look at me.
Look at the chat. I looked. You told me not to. I looked. DeAndre Yedlin. But that actually does surprise me. I would think Pulisic has more because Yedlin has been like one cycle more than Pulisic, but Pulisic has played more consistently. How far off are they in cap numbers, those two?
Pulisic is 29 caps behind DeAndre Yedlin. 29.
That many?
Yeah, DeAndre Yedlin played a lot against the national team, man.
Man.
Yeah. How many caps did give me a guess what you think DeAndre Yedlin has in his career.
Okay, he said 29 more.
He has 29 more than Pulisic, yes.
I'm putting Pulisic on like 25, 30 right now. So
no, you're way off, man. Pulisic's got more than that, and therefore Yedlin has more than that.
So what does Yedlin have, 60, 70?
He has 69 caps for the U.S. men's national team, which, you know, it's a nice number. 69 caps. Pulisic has 40 caps. Paul Arriola has one more cap than Christian Pulisic. He's got 41. Paul Arriola has 41 national team caps.
How did that happen?
the MLS quota, Jared. The answer is the MLS quota.
I mean, I love an Arriola as much as the next guy, but not that much. That's too much Arriola.
Yeah, that's... okay. Now we're ranging into dangerous territory, and I don't know if we want to go in that direction. So I will get instead... to Dave in New York, who wants to talk about Greg Berhalter's criteria for the roster. Dave, do you have an answer? Why does Greg pick the players he picks? Tell us.
That's unknown. So I am with you about Brooks. Like, on its own, there is no problem with Greg saying, hey, John, you haven't met up to our standards. You cost us points against Canada, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. I'm totally with that. The problem is that same standard is not applied across the board. And yes, you picked on McKenzie because they play the same position. And look, even if the excuse is we're going to play a back three, there's no way we're playing a back three both games. I don't even know if we're going to anyways because Greg loves the 4-3-3. But even if we were going to play a back three, you have 25 players on the roster. So two people aren't going to go to both those games. So I don't understand why Brooks can't be there. And if you're going to play a back three, you don't want to play against Mexico, fine. He could have just sat that game. He sat a game in the first window as well. I don't remember which game it was, but he didn't. I think it was El Salvador. So, yeah, that's my issue. He doesn't apply the same standards. And I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to use Greg's own words. After, I don't know when it was, he was talking on a podcast, and he was talking about the decisions he made in Panama. How, you know, basically said, I picked the wrong rotation of players. Okay, so who's he talking about? It's the players that were there. Okay, so you can say Musa, because he got taken off the half, I believe, in that game. But there was also Leggett. There was also Acosta that were the most, yeah, I would say, at fault that game. And yet they're back on this roster. So how can you apply that same standard to Brooks and not to Leggett?
Well,
when you say
he's bringing the receipts,
he didn't say the names, but
well, I think, what was he talking about?
He was talking about three players that game, really.
I know we're trying to like undo the Gordian knot here. Like this is like, you know, this is like
Alan Gordon.
Yeah, that too. You know, this is like rocket science trying to figure out the combination of factors here. The only thing I can figure, and again, it's not that I agree with any of this in the application that Greg is using in picking his roster, but the only thing I can think of is something that Jared said earlier, that Berhalter is valuing sort of a pure athleticism in that position by bringing in McKenzie over a Brooks, and at the same time sort of recognizing that Brooks didn't play well or had some bad moments in there, it's a standard, it's holding him to a standard, but then also over here shifting things for McKenzie. Well, the standard isn't as high, but he's faster, right? I mean, it might come down to that. And that, what sucks is that we cannot divine those things. Berhalter's not going to give us his notes that say, well, this is why I'm calling in Mark McKenzie over John Brooks. And as we've already said, there seem to be some players here whose performances would not merit them a spot. And I know that Luca Della Torre, as Jared has already identified, is like the it kid right now. Everybody wants to see him play. And I would like to see him in the team too. But if you're talking about specific positional depth, that's why Acosta's here. Because who else is the backup number six? There isn't one.
I've told you, Busio's putting in some shifts with Venezia on the defensive side that are looking good recently.
Okay, and Busio's in this team as he should
be. Yeah, no, but we're assuming Acosta is the guy. Well, okay. Busio is becoming that guy.
But Acosta has more reps at that spot than Busio does. So that's why I think you would feel more comfortable, but also recognize that Busio can play a couple different positions in the midfield, and having him here is a good thing, and he deserves to be here, right? All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, well, so the athleticism thing that would imply to Acosta why you would keep him around, but see, you're making me pick on Leggett some more here, because you know he's not the same player he used to be after the injury. I don't want to, because I actually think he's a solid player. I just don't think he plays a position we use on the field, and I think that's why he's poor. He's more of a 10. We don't use a 10, but Greg likes to slot him in as an 8, just like he likes to slot in Acosta sometimes as an 8, and he's a 6. So, but yeah, he's not. So if Greg's argument is he wants to use, you know, athletic bodies, I don't know how he didn't apply the same standard to Jet then.
Hold on, real quick. I'm sorry, Dave. What I'm saying about McKenzie and Brooks is specifically about the center back position. He might have a completely different set of standards in midfield, which is again frustrating because we don't know what they are.
I think he does.
I think he looks down the line and doesn't like the way certain guys look.
You think he's like looking guys in the eye? Like you?
No, I really think that he gets a gut feel about a guy. Like I feel like there's something that's intangible that we can't put our finger on that he has that we don't. I bet you his coaching staff is frustrated by it. I bet you his coaching staff looks like, oh, your call, Greg. You're the coach. You know, like here's all the info. Here's the data. You know, like I know you got a feeling about this guy.
This for me is, if we're going to come back to this real quick, this is why for me any of the conspiracy theory stuff or the quota stuff falls apart. Greg Berhalter is just an inscrutable dude. He is just really hard to figure out. And that is, again, that's frustrating. I will be bothered by that. I will be bothered by the inability to understand why he makes the choices he makes up until the point that it really starts to go sideways, and then I'm going to say, okay, well, that's not good enough, right? The problem is we have a combination of them not playing perfect and Berhalter being weird. So people get frustrated because we can't figure out why he's doing what he's doing. But the results have been just good enough that you can't say, well, he's so weird, he's got to get out of this job, right? I mean, I don't know where you are, Dave, but that's the way I feel.
Well, the ultimate goal is to qualify. So I can see why I would say the average fan is satisfied with our position right now. I mean, on its surface, you can't complain about being second in place, especially considering what happened last time around. So, but if the real goal is to build a 26 when we host, then I don't know. You know, it's not looking so good right now, because right now it's not looking like we're going to get out of. I mean, we're going so far ahead, just, but it doesn't look like the way we play right now, we're not getting out of group. Unless we get
come
the
on, that's
group.
But Dave, that's come on, that's something it's impossible to know unless
it's
you got a time machine. But sure, but there have been inconsistent. There has been inconsistent national teams in the past that managed to get out of the group, and you couldn't have predicted it, right? We didn't know that Klinsmann's team in 2014 was going to somehow get out of a group that had Ghana, Portugal, and Germany in it. Like, we had no idea that was going to happen.
They played well, though.
But sure, they played well in that World Cup. The whole cycle they played well.
They finished on top of that cycle. They played pretty
because Panama
woke up playing pretty well.
Because Mexico sucked that cycle is why they finished on top of that cycle. But I mean, look, I see your
Mexico
point.
Had a better World Cup than us, though.
So there you go. How are you gonna account for that?
We got the same. Mexico.
They got knocked out in the round of 16 too. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, they reached the same level.
Well, they look better. I'm sorry.
See, here we go.
Yeah,
this is soccer, right?
No, that was Costa Rica's really good run, though.
That was Costa Rica.
That's the other thing. We're looking at an octagonal right now where everyone thought the third place, the team that was going to be vying for one of these places was Costa Rica, and they look like trash. So this, I think it's become easier for the U.S. maybe a little bit with Costa Rica not doing well, but the onset of Canada has kind of switched those two spots between Costa Rica and Canada in terms of who's vying for the top. And let's be honest, Mexico hasn't looked great despite where their finish is or where they're at right now in the standings. They haven't looked unbeatable. They've looked very beatable. Beatable at home.
Yeah.
I've ever seen a Mexico team.
Well, they drew
with Canada. You want to talk about Mexico a little bit. For some reason, Tata Martino didn't bring in Diego Lainez into this lineup. Like,
yeah,
dude was killing the U.S. at the Nations League, whatever that thing was called back in the summer.
Yeah, no, Jonathan Dos Santos.
No, he's played for Batista a few times recently. I mean, he's coming back from injury though. Definitely coming back from injury, but he has played for Batista recently.
So no Lainez, no JJ Macias. I'm not sure that that's necessarily a huge surprise. No Orly Antuna, no Jonathan Dos Santos. Back line, interesting.
The biggest difference between we saw in the summer with Mexico and this is the return of Jimenez. That's going to be the biggest difference between what the Mexico we saw in the summer and this one, where they were.
Let's make this game specific. All right, we're leading up to Mexico, and obviously the Jamaica game matters. Appreciate the call, Dave. I'm going to let you go. The Jamaica game matters, but we want 3 points from that. But Mexico is the game that's next. That's the game that you're planning for. I hope it's not. Let's build up to the Jamaica game. I hope you're trying to win the Mexico game. They're going to roll out. I mean, if everything goes well this week in training and they don't have some sort of freak injury, they're going to roll out a front line that has Tecatito Corona, Raul Jimenez, and Chucky Lozano in it. How do you feel, Jared, about defending against that group of players?
I think Tyler Evans is going to have a big night.
He's going to have to, isn't he?
That's how I feel about it. But that being said, when I think about what's good about like Chucky Lozano, the speed that he has, the ability on the ball, I'm happy to have Chris Richards and Miles Robinson potentially in there.
Okay.
Where I get a little bit worried about them is set pieces. I think John Brooks on set pieces is strong.
Yeah. Well, you're going to mark Jimenez with Weston McKennie is my guess. They're going to have to, right? Who else is going to be the guy? I mean, and that's obviously on set pieces. If they manage to find Jimenez with crossing, if they can get Lozano and Corona to play, you know, if they get wide, if they use their width, and obviously they'll also get their fullbacks up, and they're putting the ball in the box. Are you counting on Chris Richards to go up and win it in the air, or is it not Chris Richards? Is it Walker Zimmerman in that game? Is it, you know, again, who's playing? Miles Robinson, is he the guy that's marking Jimenez one on one, or How are you doing that?
If it's me and you're playing a four-man back line, I'm going with Zimmerman and Miles Robinson because I want the big guy and I want the dynamic guy. That's what I kind of want in there. If you're really trying to commit, part of it's going to be who's that right fullback too. If you're going with someone like a Joe Scally, who's being used more like a wingback and much of like Godbach, and you're trying to get some offense out of that position,
is he starting? Maybe it's not Zimmerman against Mexico.
I think Reggie Cannon starts, and I think that's going to be hard for a lot of people to swallow because Reggie Cannon is barely playing. It's kind of out of left field to what Dave was saying earlier. There seems to be a different scale. Yeah. For different guys. All of a sudden, Reggie Cannon's back in. If you get Reggie Cannon from early to 2021, Reggie Cannon was the starting right back for a reason for this team. Defensively solid. Now, it depends how Greg wants to go after the home Mexico tie. Does he want to go offensive or just play a little bit more limited? So if Reggie Cannon is the starting right back,
Did they beat Mexico in the Nations League final? How did they beat Mexico in the Gold Cup, which is a different team? I get it. But how did they beat them? Did they play
defensively sound?
They mucked it up. They mucked it up, right? And they fought Mexico for 90 minutes, and that's what it's going to be,
right? Once again, that's why I'm saying you're probably going to see Reggie Cannon starting at right back. And if Reggie Cannon is at right back, that means Walker Zimmerman is in the back line. If you end up having someone like you want to put Joe Scally in there and get some more offense out of that position, then I think you might see the Chris Richards in that back line because that means there's going to be space that has to be covered and that speed's going to have to be there.
Okay, let's go to Luis in Jersey. Luis, you're on the Best Soccer Show. What's up?
Hey guys, this is Gringo Mark coming from New Jersey.
It's my boy, you know, Gringo Mark.
I think the game is going to be either tie or we're going to be down a goal towards the end of the game. And then if Greg looks at his bench, who's he going to bring in to produce a goal? He doesn't have anybody. I mean, Ferreira.
If he doesn't start Christian Pulisic, it will be Christian Pulisic for the last 20 minutes. If he does start Christian Pulisic and Ricardo Pepi's already in the game, I imagine that's going to have to be a Tim Weah probably. I mean, we expect Aaronson to start whether it's left or right. He's going to be on the field, yes?
Yeah, I think Brandon Aaronson is one of the two starters. It's Tim Weah, I think, to get sacrificed. So someone has to be sacrificed for Christian Pulisic. I should say it the other way around. If Christian Pulisic starts, I don't know that Brandon Aaronson or Tim Weah start. And not because I like it, but history will tell you that Berhalter prefers Paul Areola to those two guys on the right-hand side. Okay. And people don't want to hear that. I don't like to hear it either.
So we come back to that thing of, okay, figure why. Why, Jared? Why? He's going to start him in that last game against Costa Rica.
He works hard.
Well, I think against Mexico that there's value in that.
There's value in that. And he mucks it up, right? Isn't that what Paul Areola does better than some of the other wingers that we have? He mucks it up, sometimes for our team.
He
mucks it up. Think of when the last game he played, he actually converted a few chances by pressuring the back line and forcing guys into bad decisions. Paul Areola does some stuff, but it's not the stuff that American fans like to watch out there on the field. They want to see the Brandon Aaronsons and the Tim Weahs. And I agree. I would love to see them. I want to have a positive attitude. We're going to create something pretty going forward. We're going to get service for Ricardo Pepi. And Paul Areola doesn't really do those things. But he keeps games tight and doesn't make bad decisions. I mean, that's unfortunate. That's the same reason Sebastian Legette's there. It's super unsexy, but they do the things that Berhalter gives those guys direction. They will follow the plan.
Look, he doesn't make bad decisions. And I think Paul Areola is a better player than people give him credit for. But at the same time, Paul Areola is the guy. He gets into space up the right wing. He gets a ball played to him from a McKennie or from a Musa. He takes a touch and pushes it too close to the keeper, and now the whole chance goes begging. That's Paul Areola. Yeah. I mean, he'll occasionally score a fantastic goal. He did it last weekend or last midweek for DC United in the first minute of a match or whatever that was. Left-footed, just bomb from the left side. I mean, I loved that goal. But
this is a great take right here from MSB 3678. Areola does stuff, just not with the ball.
Right,
and that's kind of right.
There's value in that. Okay, there is. There's value in that doing stuff, just not with the ball. Whether it's pressing or back pressing or filling space, even just being in a place. can have value. The question is that of higher value, or does he do that at a higher level enough to make it worth it not to start Tim Weah in a game against Mexico?
The answer to that is in the question you asked a little bit ago. How did the U.S. win against Mexico two times during the summer?
Well,
by not taking chances and making the game simple, ugly, and tight.
Okay, that is,
and that's what Paul Ariola does.
That's reductive on my part. Okay, and I know it's easier to go to lean in the negative direction of, oh well, we only beat Mexico because of this. Pulisic wins a penalty kick in the Nations League, or we only beat Mexico in the Gold Cup final because X, Y, or Z. Those things are true. It's also true they won the game. So you have to figure out how much credit do you give Berhalter for the way that they played? Was that the right approach? Or is this just a game with small margins? And Mexico and the United States really aren't, they're not separated by a whole lot right now. And it could come down to just one moment. And look, if you have one moment and you have Tim Weah and Paul Ariola, that one moment, do you want Tim Weah with the ball in the box 12 yards from goal to make a decision? Or do you want Paul Ariola in the box 12 yards from goal to make a decision, Jared?
Tim Weah all day long. The issue is most Americans aren't prepared to answer the question, do you want to win 1-0 ugly, or do you want to potentially lose 3-0 and try to play the right way? Most Americans don't want to deal with that question.
No. I want the 1-0 victory because I value winning and because I want points because I want to go back to the World Cup in 2022.
And that's how Berhalter
says you could take your pretty soccer and stuff it in a bag and throw it off a bridge for all I care. Okay, right now. I don't need it to be pretty. I need it to be winning. That's what I need. Now, that does not mean that I'm going to just accept every piece of crap that Berhalter hands me if he's handing me crap. Right? We're going to find out because he's got a real test here. He's got a Mexico with Raul Jimenez in the team. He's got, obviously the experience that they bring to the table for whatever happened, the Gold Cup final, the Nations League final. You telling me that you really want to keep butting your head up against Hector Herrera and see? I don't think you really want that, right? And Musa and McKenney and Adams, we presume that's the trio, that they got a challenge in front of them.
That being said, two of those three are on a hell of a run right now. Adams and McKenney are playing some of the best ball they've played in a while. Musa's not getting the same kind of minutes, but it'll be interesting to see. By not bringing De La Torre, who's the other Musa option?
I guess it's Busio. I guess it's Busio.
Potentially. I just don't see him advancing the ball the same way. I think he can pick out a good pass, but I don't see him breaking a line Musa does.
No, that's true, and that is a problem.
If you put Busio on the field, you have two McKennies, basically. That's the way I see it. You're bringing a guy that does things very similar. You're bringing two eights on the field, kind of.
Sure.
Whereas Musa has the ability to actually break a line.
I understand that. In terms of their what they would do with the ball at their feet, I suppose that's true. Although McKennie can certainly make runs ahead of Busio and create problems with that, and he's... McKennie's a monster in the air, which I think you absolutely need to take advantage of. Set pieces are going to be huge in this game, just like they always are against Mexico, right?
With 12 minutes left in the show, do you want to do a starting lineup?
Man, I was going to ask you the same question. First of all, let me say somebody mentioned earlier yellow card problems, I think, for McKennie and Adams. So that is something that I think those were the two players. If that's the case.
I'm not worried about that because if you get a yellow card, that just means you're missing the Jamaica match. You go for the Mexico game. Because you could put an Acosta in there for Adams and still potentially win that Jamaica game. You could put Busio in for McKenzie and potentially win that Jamaica game. I'm not saying Jamaica is going to be easy. I'm just saying that you focus on the Mexico game.
Look, I know we got a show between now and then and there's stuff going to happen. We'll see how we feel coming out of Mexico. But Jamaica's got Leon Bailey and Michael Antonio in their team.
But listen, if you had to pick, if I give you the whole octagonal schedule and I said... from all the away games, pick away games that you can't be without Tyler Adams or Weston McKennie. Which away game are you picking?
I mean, I would have said El Salvador.
And second to that is probably?
probably Jamaica. Yeah, probably Jamaica. I suppose that's right.
Say, if you're going to miss them for that one.
Okay, I guess. It makes it a lot tougher. I mean, again, you're not... You shouldn't be counting on a win in Jamaica to make the World Cup.
You should be counting on two players not getting a yellow card in a Mexico game.
No, like, you can't count on that. Mexico going to Mexico. That's absolutely... All right, let's try this. Let's try to put together a starting lineup, okay? This is going to be like taking cod liver oil. I never had to do that. Why is that a thing that parents, like old people always talked about? Cod liver oil? Like a spoonful of that?
That's like Christmas Story kind of stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Why did they like do that? Do we know why they did that? Or is it just like a thing that you get told when you're a kid?
To laugh at the kids when it's their faces when they do it? I don't know.
All right, goalkeeper. There's no question. Let's just keep moving from that, right? Goalkeeper.
Matt Turner. I mean, we might say, are we doing, again, we're doing Berhalter's lineup or our lineup?
Let's
do Berhalter's.
Okay. All right. This is the cod liver oil. This is Berhalter's lineup. All right. Matt Turner
and goal.
Doesn't
taste good at all.
Matt Turner.
I'm still going to say Matt Turner because I think Stefan was kind of a charity one.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Left side, Anthony Robinson.
Wait, hold on. Are you playing a 4-3-3? I just want to know.
I'm doing 4-3-3. I'm doing 4-3-3.
I'm doing 4-3-3. Okay. Anthony Robinson. Simpler. Yeah. That one picks itself. Anthony Robinson picks himself.
I think that's maybe one of the only two or three locks on the entire field. You know, lays Anthony Robinson on the left side right now.
I think there are five locks if you count the goalkeeper. But yes, you're right. Go ahead.
Next to him will be Miles Robinson.
There's six locks in this team, at least. Miles Robinson's a lock. He's a lock. He's 100% a lock.
I mean, Pepsi's a lock because they literally didn't bring anyone else.
Well, we'll get there in a second, but go ahead.
Miles Robinson. Next to Miles Robinson, I'm going Walker Zimmerman.
Oh, okay, so Mexico is going to Mexico, so Walker Zimmerman's going to Mexico with Mexico. That's what you're telling me?
Do you think Chris Richards can play the physical game that Mexico's going to play?
I think.
And do you want someone with one cap in the Mexico game?
I think
if it's not one, it's two. I don't know. But.
Okay. Walker Zimmerman. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm not trying to convince you. Pick what you want to pick, man.
No. You're right. I'm telling you. I don't know. I don't feel. Look, I like Chris Richards. I have that same thing though. Like it's Mexico. Ugh, Chris Richards in that game with what they're going to throw at him. I talked about Jimenez and you know, there's going to be a battle up there. I guess I like Walker. I like what maybe he can do in that moment. Go ahead.
All right, so right back, I'm going with Reggie Cannon.
Okay, this is where we might diverge. I don't think he's going to start Joe Scally. I think he's going to start DeAndre Yedlin. I think he is. I think he's going to start
I can see that. I think that is... I think he's going to be overly worried about the speed of Mexico when he should be worried about being defensively sound. I think Reggie Cannon is more defensively sound than DeAndre Yedlin.
Reggie Cannon is more defensively sound, but I think and Yedlin may have instructions to kind of stay at home and not get up the field too much.
I'll say this, though. Joe Scally is an amazing couple training sessions away from potentially taking that role in the Mexico game. If he actually gets him in, let's not forget, this would be the first time he actually gets to see Joe Scally in person and in training. He could impress.
Yeah. Okay.
He could impress. The guy's played Bayern Munich twice already in 10 games.
Okay, so we diverge on right back. Let's go to the midfield. Is there any
MMA.
Reason to think he doesn't go MMA? Any reason at all?
I don't think so, man. I think you go full, no holes barred, in the octagonal, you got to go in the octagon, MMA.
I know. The only argument might be maybe Buzio over Musa just for form reasons.
And I get that, but I think you're definitely committing yourself to getting defensive if you do that. I'm worried that U.S. isn't going to be...
You're saying you're going to have a hole.
Between the strikers and the midfield, there's going to be a hole, and that's where Mexico's going to live. Every second ball that comes out that you're trying to get your foot off the pedal for just one moment, let us get a breath, that second ball is going to fall right into that space, and it's going to be Mexico there ready to pick it up. You got to have someone like Musa in there that can break a line and take that space.
Okay, let's then go to the forward line where it's going to get weird again. Let's go.
I think Berhalter is going to go full Pulisic.
Well, okay, hold on. Let me just do this first. Okay, Ricardo Pepi's starting at center forward. There's no doubt about that, right? Because he's got one center forward. He doesn't have another one. Ricardo Pepi, step up, boy, because it's your turn. Let's go. I mean, you're really, not only are you like...
This is bold.
You're not just the new guy who scored a goal, did some nice things, got a big moment in Texas against Jamaica. Now you are... When's the last time... Josie at 19 was handed this responsibility, wasn't he?
Pretty young, for Josie at 19. Johnson, yeah.
Okay, so...
I'll say this, though. Josh Sargent has never had a clear reckoning of where he stands than right now.
Oh, yeah,
because literally, instead of bringing Josh Sargent, he brought zero other center forwards.
Zero other center forwards. All right.
That's got to make you feel good.
Well, he brought Jesus Ferreira, who, again, is not a center, a classic...
More of a false nine.
Back to... Well, he's a more of a false nine. All right, so tell me who the other two guys are.
I think he goes full Pulisic. Okay, goes full Pulisic. I think Berhalter can't stand to not use the toy that's in his room. You know, he's got to play with it.
I'm gonna agree with you on that. There's plenty of people in the chat who don't think Pulisic plays and might not play at all over these two games. I don't know why you would decoy a guy, make him fly across the Atlantic with a bum ankle if you're not going to use him at some point. And I just think maybe you burn him in the Mexico game and you see what happens against Jamaica. Maybe that's what he's going to do here. The other side. Give me the other side. Is it Brendan Aaronson? Is it Tim Weah? No. Paul Arriola.
If I'm picking Berhalter's lineup,
man,
I'm going with Paul Arriola. If I'm picking my lineup, I'm going with Brendan Aaronson. But I'm going with Berhalter's, and I think it's going to be Paul Arriola.
All right. I want to say you're wrong. I do.
And Pepe's going to be on an island all night.
I don't know how you don't start Brendan Aaronson. Talk about message sending. Talk about what you're, John Brooks, you're not called up because you haven't been good enough for the national team. You know all those caps you've got? You know all the experience you have? You know that top league you play in for a Champions League level club? Forget all that. You're not good enough for the U.S. men's national team. Brendan Aaronson's been busting his ass. He's been more important to this team than almost anybody in this qualifying cycle to this point. And you're going to sit him against Mexico?
If you were going to vote for an MVP of World Cup qualifying so far, I think there's three guys on the list. I think number one is probably Tyler Adams. Number two is probably Miles Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And number three is Brendan Aaronson. I'm not putting Matt Turner in there, but yeah, Matt Turner would probably be in the conversation.
Yeah.
And Brendan Aaronson would be the third. Those are your three best players in World Cup qualifying so far, and we're talking about not starting him.
I'm saying Berhalter goes with him. I know you. The Arriola argument is strong. I think Aaronson gets to start. I think he does. I think he moves so much that whatever you get from Arriola, you're getting that from Aaronson with a sharper edge towards goal, with a better ability to create chances. So someone in here said Greg Berhalter said that Brennison will only play on the right. This is Wesley. Said Aaronson will only play on the right. If that's the case, well, then you can't start Aaronson and wait. I don't know how you would do that without Pulisic in the lineup, because who's going to play on the left? Like, there's not a natural left-sided forward.
Paul Arriola plays on the right. Aaronson only on the right then. Tim Weah plays on the right.
Well, Tim Weah could
Ferreira if you have him cut in and not really be out on the wing.
But Ferreira's not a winger. That's why it's weird he's on this roster. Where his face is Ferreira. Again, this feels like that overthinking tendency.
He said he typed it wrong. He said left, I meant.
Oh, okay. So. Well, in that case, then, yeah, that's where he's been playing. That's why I was confused. Stop messing me up, Wesley. It's already hard enough. All right, well, if that's the case, then you could argue for Aaronson on the left and Weah on the right, or Aaronson on the left, Arriola on the right, as you've already said.
If Brendan Aaronson's only position is on the left, then he's eternally behind Christian Pulisic. Like, there's really no role for him.
When Pulisic is
healthy.
Fully healthy and available,
a tough pill to swallow.
Berhalter says that now, but it could change. I mean, it could change.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to open up the change the formation can of worms, but, you know, you could play with a 10 or someone in the hole underneath the forwards, and you could try that.
Where's that player? Jesus Ferreira is the closest player to that player right now in this roster.
In this roster, yes. Gio Reyna is also the other guy. And Aaronson might be the other guy because he plays more like that, not exactly, but more like that at Salzburg than he does as a wide forward in this group, in this team.
I'm actually kind of. I hope at some point that the situation calls for Berhalter to need to go to a two striker formation, and he puts Ferreira on the field with Pepe. That would be exciting for me to see.
Is that just FC Dallas just cha-ching, 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 and while their team stinks?
Can you imagine how insufferable their social media would be when that happens?
They're already pretty insufferable. That's where I got this. We sped it up.
I have one more reason to hate them now.
I mean, they missed the playoffs. They've got some work to do.
Tell me about it. Guess who else did?
Well, the question is, did Ricardo Pepi play his last game in MLS today? That's the question, which I think is interesting.
I say yes.
You think so? Think he's gone? Think he's out of there?
Okay. There's too much buzz, dude. There's too much buzz.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Take a loan?
Come on. Speaking of MLS decision day. Again, we've left it here because we hadn't talked about USA Mexico or the roster at all. We left it until the very end. Will in Minnesota has been holding the entire show, Jerry. He's been waiting for the entire show.
What, you know what? Not all heroes wear capes.
Will, what you got for us, man? What's up?
What's up, guys? I just want to say, first of all, waiting for the entire show because I think you guys are the best soccer show up there in the top three of the podcast, right? All right, so that's my first thing. I got notes because I was going to start with decision day, but now we talked about all this, and I'm going to be quick about U.S. because you guys just hashed it out perfectly. But I question whether Jonathan Brooks and Christian Pulisic are even a part of our best lineup right now. I think they are, but I think there's a question to be had. Anyways, I think Mexico at home is the perfect time to send a message to all the players and Sid John Brooks. I think it's a message of you have to be informed to play for this team.
That's not, but we've already talked about why that's not true.
There are other players. There are other players that are completely out of form right now. So I get that argument.
Yeah. All right. So
I'm down for taking it, sending a message. I'm down for sending a message. I'm a parent. Yeah. Sometimes I stand on hills I don't believe in
exactly.
Just to make a
that's
point.
True. Yeah.
But do you do it when it's against Mexico?
I've got MLS too.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. What's your MLS decision day stuff with?
Yeah, I want to get to my main point. Is Jared, I'm from Minnesota. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Like, I love it. Like, I almost cheered harder for Real Salt Lake's goal tonight just because it's not you, it's Los Angeles. So I'm sorry you're a part of that. But I do respect you. I do respect you. I just want to bring up how
sounds like
great
it.
Of a fan base here in Minnesota. Like, we've got people showing out, sellout crowds, just like other stadiums in the MLS, but sellout crowds in our stadium, and we've got a great fan base, even for away games. And I do just want to say, like, I think people listen to this podcast, and I just want to say, like, we deserve a World Cup qualifier game, and that's kind of my main.
I'll say this about your team.
Yeah.
I'm dropping Will because his phone was terrible. Go ahead.
Well, you got a good team up there, and I think one of the reasons why you probably don't get the run that you deserve is that there's no star.
Emmanuel Reynoso is the star.
Really?
Yeah, he's a star.
You think that the average MLS person, when they're talking about the stars in this league, they're talking about Reynoso?
Okay, are you talking about like famous
names? How far
names?
Down the list do you
Whoa,
have to get before you get to Reynoso?
Let me frame it up a little bit, okay? I'm saying he's a star caliber player. Whether you know who he is, that's a different question. No, of course.
That's
most
the definition
people,
of a star. You know who they
not,
are.
Okay, all right. Continue.
You know, there's a lot of constellations I don't know the names of. I know the Big Dipper. It's important. It's sold well to me.
But isn't that not even the real one? Like, isn't that like just the dumb person constellation? The real one is like Ursa Major or something like that.
But my point is that if he is a star, then Minnesota's got to do a better job of selling him.
Okay. No, I
because
know.
I don't think I the average MLS fan even thinks of Reynoso when they start thinking down their list of stars in this
well,
league.
Well, no, you're right about. Well, here's there's things that Minnesota cannot do.
And I think that's
about.
Why Minnesota doesn't get its run.
Minnesota
doesn't get its due.
Can't do anything about the fact that they're in Minnesota. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's a thing, right? Until they win a championship or something. And look, they were very close last year. They almost...
Are you trying to say no star wants to play in Minnesota?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you have the media based in New York and the media based in LA, and they go, Minnesota? What's that? I'm saying in general. And it's something that even if you're conscious of bias, it can become a problem. Like, it can become a thing where you just stop paying attention.
Somehow Orlando got Nani.
If Minnesota United was in first place in the Western Conference all year long and won a supporter shield, we'd obviously all be talking about them. But they finished fifth, right? Like, it's a, or whatever.
I got to pick your poison for you then. I got to pick your poison in terms of stars in this league.
Okay, here we go. Poison.
Who do you think is actually a bigger star in this league in terms of like MLS fans knowing them. Because I'm going to pick two guys where I feel they're on fairly the same level.
All right.
Reynoso with Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Or Shabilko with the Union. Who is the bigger star in this league between those two players?
So wait, hold on. Is this like, are we doing Family Feud rule? Like, where am I asking? Who am I asking? Like, I need to know.
I'm just thinking, like we're talking about guys that, there's a difference to me. And what the point I'm trying to make is, people being good players for their team and being stars and where the attention is.
I don't know how we got here. How did we get here? What's this? What is this?
My man said that Minnesota's not getting their run, that no one respects them.
He's from Minnesota. He's biased about his team. I get it. Like, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. Like,
all right, but answer my question, though. Which one's the bigger star?
Reynoso's a bigger star because of what he did in the playoffs last year. And Shabilko's not even the best player on his team, I don't think. So I think that's a factor. Reynoso's the best player that Minnesota United has. So even though maybe you pay attention to Minnesota a little bit less than you do to Philadelphia, I think that Reynoso is a bigger star.
My point is that Shabilko, while being a lesser player, is on a team that gets more attention in the Union.
I think that's probably true. But the Union don't have any big stars either, so it's a weird.
That's why I picked him.
I know. Okay. All right. So
Jim Curtin might be the biggest star in the Philadelphia Union.
Jim Curtin probably is the I guess that's Andre Blake's a pretty big star.
Sebastian Letou is still a bigger star than anyone on the Philadelphia Union team.
Oh, that's funny.
By the way, I was just setting you up for a lot of Philly hate in the chat. There's no way you could get out of that conversation clean.
Yeah. All right. So anything else we should get to here? I mean, I don't know if we fixed all the U.S. men's national team problems or not. What's your confidence level on a scale of no? Well, I could ask you for your DEFCON and just do that before Mexico.
DEFCON
after second place in the octagonal, need to finish top three to automatically qualify for the World Cup. There is still more than half of the games left. How do you feel with this roster? Where's your DEFCON right now? And everybody in the chat, where's your DEFCON?
So in terms of this window, where's my DEFCON?
Like, yeah, right now result. In this moment, as
assuming that the result, the expected result out of this is 6 points, correct?
Expected result. Wow.
Our expectations for this window is 6 points.
Yes, I mean I don't think that's necessarily realistic.
If our expectation is 6 points, I would put DEFCON at between 2 and 3, because I don't think this is a 6 point roster.
You can't
take us to DEFCON 3.
You can't do DEFCON 2.5. Is that what you're doing? DEFCON 2.5? Is that
okay? Put me at DEFCON 3, because I'm not too worried, but I also think that 4 points is really what we're going to get out of this.
Yeah, but okay, 4 points is a successful window of games in this particular batch or two match.
It is, but at the same time, when you have a Jamaica window, you want to try to target 6. Classically.
Okay. Well, look, if they beat Mexico, kind of no matter how they do it, but obviously there'll be some judgment on analysis of the way they play. But if they beat Mexico, I think the window is already a success. Kind of, unless they fall flat in Jamaica. If they lose like 1-0 on a penalty or on a set piece against Jamaica, it'll be disappointing. If they don't score a goal, I guess it'll be disappointing. But I think you could still say, okay, you won a home game against Mexico. That feels good.
The way I choose to look at this, I'm looking at this probably different than a lot of people are. They're looking at a Mexico game and Jamaica. I'm looking at, classically, you have a home game and away game.
4 points.
So, yeah. Which would be 4 points. Also, classically, the away game at Jamaica is usually expected to be 3 points for most qualifying cycles.
Did we beat Jamaica the last time around? In 2000?
I've been fans since 94, man. I'm not thinking about last time around. I'm saying classically,
no, I know.
You've tried to get 3 points away.
I understand you're saying classic. I'm just asking you if you remember whether the United States beat Jamaica the last time
around. I remember they didn't beat Trinidad, but I don't remember if they beat Jamaica. I think they did beat Jamaica last time around.
In Jamaica. I'm looking. Jamaica didn't make the hex last time, so it doesn't. That can't be it. It would be the previous cycle.
The one before that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, doesn't matter. Jamaica is beatable on recent results, except for the fact they're a different team with the attacking firepower that they brought in, with having Antonio and Bailey there specifically, and even some other additions from the diaspora. Mexico is a game that, look, based on the fact we didn't qualify for the World Cup last time around, and it's a young group and all those things, you could probably even say, look, if they lose to Mexico, is that unexpected? No, of course it's not unexpected to lose to Mexico, but we want to see that progress. We want to see them take that next step.
Wait till get those calls Friday night.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Till I get those calls on Friday night.
All right, so this is the end of the show. This is where we should probably just lay this out. Again,
Can we bring Nick in?
We can do Nick. Yeah, Nikki Soup and Sushi is with us as well, and he's been getting us ready with all the calls.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
All right, go ahead.
Gentlemen.
Yeah. So, for those of you guys who don't know, WNBC is called Jason up to the flagship on Friday night. So, instead of leaving you without a show, Nick and I did a nice little Twitter space last time, and I thought we did a pretty good job. And we're just going to replace Jason on Friday with Nikki Soup and Salad here.
You guys are killing it. You're
doing a show for you guys.
Yeah, you're going to kill it. I've been advocating for this for a while. When other duties pull me away, I've been advocating for the Jared and Nick show, and I always get, we can't do it. You should do it. It's going to be. Well, you say that. I don't make it.
I'm just saying I have no ability to have any structure.
And that's
zero.
I'm worried about
putting that stress on Nick.
Nah.
That I am like I am just five kittens tied together with feet with bowls all of food all around the room and they're all moving direction.
This is absolutely what it's gonna be called. It's called Rod and Sausage. That's totally what it's gonna be called. Thank you to Mike and Philly for that one.
No, we'll do our best to fill your big shoes, Jason. Yeah. But yeah, this is this being the Mexico match, there's zero chance we were going to miss this opportunity. We certainly understand. I mean, look, that's your career. We have to do this. I can't imagine a best soccer show not after a Mexico game, you know?
I know.
And here's where the pressure is. We still have they've never missed a World Cup when we've been on the air. So
they
we
never
cannot
have.
Not
no.
do it.
No, no, absolutely not. And it kills. I'm going to say this, and hopefully we can get back to my bosses at WNBC, but I hate this. I hate it. I hate that I'm not going to be on that show with you guys. I really, really do. And look, I've been pulled in both directions. It sucks. I'm not great at choosing.
You chose your favorite child. I get it. By the way, Morgan will be
Hold on. No. You know what I did? I chose the child that will pay for my elder care, not the child who won't pay for my elder care.
Oh, so you went with the Macaulay Culkin, not the Kieran.
Is that how the Culkins work? I don't know if that's how the Culkins work.
He paid off early. The other one just now coming around.
Before we continue this a little bit, I just shout out to Morgan, who's running all of our socials. She's going to be in Cincinnati. So follow The Best Soccer Show on Instagram at The Best Soccer Show. Follow us on Twitter at Bestie Soccer. Give Morgan some love. She'll be giving you sights and sounds and all that stuff. And we'll be timing it. Obviously, I can't do post-game and stuff, but during the match, as I'm watching it, we can jump on the social stuff. We can be interacting with people. I know Jared and Nick can do that, too. So make sure you're following all our socials because it really does help.
And Nick is turning down the ability to go to the game in his hometown to do this show with me. So we've got to bring the heat.
Now, he's from Toledo. I don't know what she's talking about.
No, but whoa. I do not claim that. Yes, I'm in a suburb of Toledo, but I am from the Queen City, my friend.
You're not from Cleveland. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati. Boy, that's what it is.
By the way,
his actual township. I don't want to blow him up.
Can I just say all of my sports teams
You ordered sushi for him in his township.
All your teams suck, Nick?
All my teams suck. Whether it's FC Cincinnati, Manchester United, the Bengals. I mean, I quit.
US national team?
No, the U.S. men's national team's doing well.
Yes.
Right, so don't jinx us here, dude. You're bringing your Cincinnati stink onto our national team.
I'm a little nervous about that.
No, you'll be. It's not you. Come on,
You're on the ground. Is this going to be Guerra Fria or is this going to be Guerra kind of lukewarm? What's it going to be? Is the weather going to be actually in the U.S.'s favor in Cincinnati on Friday?
I haven't looked at the forecast, but it's probably going to be by the time the game kicks off on Friday night, I think it's an 8 p.m. kickoff, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
9 p.m.
9
p.m. Yeah.
So then, it's probably going to be in the mid 40s. Maybe a little cool. We had our first frost yesterday, so it could be in the 30s by the time the game ends.
The high on Friday, according to the forecast, is 58 in Cincinnati. So by 9 o'clock, it'll probably be upper 40s, mid 40s.
I'd say low 40s.
Okay. Are the snoods something that still happens? Do people still do snoods?
Why are you bringing up snoods at 11:15?
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think how awkward and weird the Mexican players are going to look.
Snoods are illegal. Oh, that was only the Premier League when we went through the whole snood fiasco. Oh, like,
I don't know. They should be illegal everywhere.
When Carlos Tevez wore that thing all the time.
That's okay. Nikki Soup and Sushi, do we have any reviews to share with the people? Reminder, please go over to Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, give us a review. Nick will also tell you an email address where you can send a review if you don't want to publicly post it. Go ahead, Nick.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, we're up to 249 ratings, so we're one rating away from 250.
By the Mexico game. We got to be at 250 by the Mexico game. Then we guarantee to
make it happen. Yes.
For sure. The most recent review we got was on October 25th, so this was a couple weeks ago. This is from Meriden Matt. This review says, if you're a fan of American soccer, then this podcast will get you going. And I'm not just talking about some soft Bobby Wood, but we're talking a full-on John O'Brien stiffy. They cover everything from U.S. men's national team and MLS to important soccer topics like Ted Lasso. Love the pod. I'm so glad it's back. Constant content. Also, become a bestie. You won't regret it. Thank you so much, Meriden Matt.
Keep your sausage as hard as a rod.
I like how the reviews are reminding me of things we said on the show because I forgot about the O'Brien Stiffy. I forgot about the O'Brien Stiffy. All right. Nicholas Soup and Salad, Sushi and Sausage.
The email address is bestsoccershowreviews@gmail.com. If you're not an Apple user and you want to email that review in, hit us up again. That's bestsoccershowreviews@gmail.com.
Right. And then we'll create a fake email address, sign you up for Apple Podcast. Not sign that address up for Apple Podcast and post your review on Apple Podcast. That's how that works, right? All right. Thank you very much to Nick for popping on. All right. Mr. Dubois, anything else? Any other business before we get the hell out of here? No. Yes.
Screw Kevin Cabral. That's all I got.
No, man. You had to give us a downer on the galaxy at the end of the show here? All right. That's fine.
You don't know how tough this was for me tonight to come in here and actually talk soccer.
I know. It's been a day.
You don't love anything, so it's not the same for you.
I do. I love my job. I love you. I love my buddies. I love the show.
You don't have a team that lets you down.
I love the besties. I do. The U.S. men's national team, and I really hope they're not going to let me down on Friday night. I really hope. And I can... You know, like after my work, maybe I'll be able to chime in at the very end of the actual. I don't know. I'm very upset about not being on that show.
Screw you, Kevin Cabral.
Kevin Cabral, you're done. You're out of here. We're out of here. They'll see you guys. The Rod and Sausage Show on Friday night, post game, Mexico.
Don't miss that.
Be here.
Michael fucking Arasco Fiscal.
Damn, dog, that's inappropriate.
Duh and or hello.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Calm down, Greg, it's soccer.
Get to the chopper!
Damn, dog.
Inappropriate.
What are we doing?
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Oh, baby!
Avenge me.
Michael freaking Arasco Fiscal!
J. Rodius.